Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Well, my friends, welcome aboard the Starship Medicare. It's time to strap in your lazy boy and turn up your hearing aid because you're listening to Another Day Above Ground. I'm Dale, your fellow baby boomer, and with me to put on this broadcast are my two co-captains. First from Indiana, Mr. Tim Slagle, the Aristotle of comedy.
Hey, it's opening day for baseball and probably the only time that the Cubs will be in the running for the pennant.
And joining us from Denver, Colorado, please welcome Carolyn Strauss.
And I think that the Rockies are actually going to make it into the playoffs this year. And that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And we'll come back to it in a couple months and see how we're going.
Yeah, the Colorado Rockies are in the World Series, and it's going to be the least watched World Series ever.
But the weather will be beautiful, and the stadium's really nice. So come on out, people,
and it'll
visit
get
our
quite
Rockies.
Chilly in hell. So, well, spring is finally here. Is it where you are, Carolyn, in Denver, or is it still snowing?
2 days ago, it was 73 degrees, and today it's 34, and it's going to snow. So, yeah, it's a typical day here in Colorado. I love living here. My winter clothes and my summer clothes live in the same closet. It's the only place I've ever lived where that happens.
So you Denver is really bipolar then. So you could...
Which is why I fit right in. Denver's by everything, honey. It's all good.
I thought bipolar was a bear that all the other bears were happy to see.
Well, spring is finally here for me today. I was in the car. I saw three robins today. One guy was robbing a gas station. Another one was robbing a bank. And then I saw a guy robbing a 7-Eleven. So,
welcome to Chicago.
Exactly. And none of them will be charged. So,
and meanwhile, Jussie Smollett is robbing justice.
There you go. There you go. And you're not going to find that kind of tie-in on any other podcast, my friends.
And as it should be.
Exactly. Well, if you're new to this podcast, let me just tell you that we talk about all things related to baby boomers, people like us, born between 1946 and 1964. And a couple of things that we'd like to touch on is, you know, basically our disgust with millennials. It's something we like to call, get off my lawn. And there's a couple of millennial stories that I'd like to lead in with. First of all, there's a guy in an artist in Los Angeles who called Cosimo Cavallero. I don't know if I got that Irish right. Anyhow, he's building a wall between the U.S. and Mexico by himself out of cheese.
You sure his first name isn't Queso? You sure you didn't pronounce it wrong?
No, maybe it is, you know, or it could be Gouda, I can't tell. But yeah, he's making this out of big lumps of cheese, expired cotija, a hard cheese from Mexico. And it's hard to say, so that's why. But,
actually, the real hard cheese is in Venezuela right now. You can't get that stuff.
But I'm thinking that, you know, if he's building a wall out of cheese, you know, parodying, of course, Trump's wall, but it could be useful. First, we go to the land what makes the most cheese, Wisconsin. We build a wall so that the polar vortex can't come down from Canada.
But if the polar vortex,
big wall of cheese.
The polar vortex does come, it'll keep the cheese fresh. So it's all good because it's going to be a stinky wall.
There you go. And who's going to pay for it? That cheesehead that won $750 million in the Powerball lottery. What's he going to do? Beer is still a buck and a half up there. He's not going to be able to spend it all. So, And then people are losing their minds for absolutely no reason. You may be aware of this bagel controversy. This is another millennial who brought bagels into the office and had them what he calls bread sliced. That means instead of slicing a bagel so it's two perfect hemispheres that fit together, he had it sliced diagonally so it's all little tiny individual slices. And people are like ready to burn down his house because of this. They say, no, that's a travesty.
I think there's a law against it. Seriously. Clearly this is somebody who's never been to New York, who's never eaten a sandwich. I mean, look, you wouldn't cut a sandwich that way. What is he thinking?
Well, it is called St. Louis style, so you don't know.
He wants all the pieces to look like an arch.
Yeah, right. Actually, but none of the pieces would look like an arch. Look, you cut it horizontally and then cut it in half. You got four perfect arches. Now that makes sense to me. But this slicing it horizontally, I mean, vertically, it's weird. It's just weird. Even bagel chips are sliced horizontally, but just really thin.
So are poker chips, for that matter. But
they don't taste
as good. I can almost see the reasoning for this, because he brought them into the office, which means everybody was going to share. You may not want an entire bagel or even half a bagel. You may want a slice, you know. So I can understand that, but people everywhere are going, no, don't ever do that again. That's a travesty. You can't do that. And apparently,
how do you apply the schmear?
How do you toast it?
At that point, it isn't a schmear; it's a dip.
Well, yeah, and you don't toast it because it's in an office. There's no toaster, probably. So you just take your finger and smear a little on there, and then you're a winner.
Yeah, don't do it. Just don't do it from a former New Yorker who grew up in Boston, lived in New York. People just don't. All right, there are certain things that you just shouldn't do, and that's one of them.
And also don't put mayonnaise on it. That would be another bad thing, I would imagine.
I would imagine. I mean, yeah.
And they say it's a St. Louis secret is the cut that way. Kind of like the tavern cut for the pizza is a secret
that
in Chicago. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. See what I mean?
Cut in little squares. Here you have to ask for it pie cut in order to get wedges.
Wait, how do you square cut a round pizza?
Well, I guess we're going to have to keep that a secret, aren't we, Dale?
It's a Chicago secret.
Where is the logic in that, right? How do you square cut around pizza? So some people only get crust and some people only get middle. How do you hold it? How do you fold it in half? What is wrong with you, Chicago people? I don't understand.
Some people get the crust. Some people get the good part. It's called the Chicago way.
Socialism at its best. Not.
Why do you think all the pizza parlors are Italian? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a letter on that. All right. Anyhow, you know, I started thinking everything's being replaced nowadays. You know, you can't get a potato anymore. You get kombucha, or somebody told me about that in a restaurant. I don't even know what it is, or avocado toast. And that stuff's all wrong. And I'm going to miss some of the foods that we used to have. For instance,
kombucha is actually moldy tea, isn't it?
I don't know what the hell it is.
It is. It's supposed to be really good for your digestion.
Oh, well, yeah. Got to drink something
really
to get that
good,
avocado
and really good for
toast
the restaurant that doesn't want to throw away the iced tea from last month.
Avocado toast, you know what it is? It's toast with mushed avocados on it, without the guac, without the cilantro and the onions. So it's like, it's literally mushed up avocado on toast. You can put tomato on it. You can put something, but it's not even guacamole. It's just avocado on toast, which All is right. actually really good for you.
Did either of you hear about Beto O'Rourke and his avocado?
No. Mm-hmm.
Did you? Yeah, apparently the
Beto
candidate
O'Rourke
for president.
He's running for president.
I like Beto.
He's running for president
next
year in the Democratic side.
And they call him Beto.
Yeah, he's Irish, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's from Texas, so it's definitely Roberto.
He's Irish, and he wears a tank top. He's Beto.
Wow. Yeah, and you're going to vote for him, right, Tim? I can see he's like right on the top of your list, right next to Elizabeth Warren, right?
Apparently, there's a story is that when they had their first baby, he took a lump out of his baby's diaper and put it in a bowl and told his wife it was guacamole. Yeah, so he has no right to be called Beto if he thinks that's guacamole.
He has no right to be in the White House if he's making his wife eat poop.
Well, you know, why not? Why not make the whole country have a nibble?
Well, that's isn't that what we're doing now? Anyway, moving on. Sorry. We are not getting political on this podcast, you guys. It's not going to happen. I can't help myself sometimes.
Anyway, you were saying about guacamole?
All right.
No, I had nothing more to say about guacamole. It's just avocado.
Carolyn, you were saying something. I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying the avocado toast. It's just literally avocado on toast. That's the whole point. Oh, my God. And I went to a restaurant, and they were charging $9 for it, for an avocado toast. I'm like, why? It's a dollar for the avocado. Maybe it's, you know what, it's the time it takes to ripen the darn thing. You ever buy an avocado that's not ripe?
Put it on top of the refrigerator. That's what my friend Beto told me.
Okay.
Put it in a diaper for
that's
about
where
a week.
He kisses baby.
And it ripened right up. Anyhow, I miss the foods we used to have. You know, what was the last time you ever used Jiffy Pop? Oh, that pie plate with the foil on top. Put it on a stove, and pretty soon the entire thing explodes into a ball of popcorn. Where did that go?
It was magic. It was pure magic. It was. I mean, that was like, we only got it like once a month when we'd actually watch one of those. You know, remember the Sunday night movies, the Sunday night Disney
Wide
family
World of Color.
Yep.
Movie that happened
yep.
on Sunday nights? It's
yeah.
Yes. And the Disney's Wide World of Color. Yeah. And it was color movies. And once a month, we would get Jiffy Pop. And we'd all stand around the stove and wait for it to
yeah,
pop.
It's
it was magic.
You stick it on the stove and you shake it until it looks mm-hmm. like looks like a Sikh from outer space.
It was so funny. Thinking back on it now, my dad used to stand behind my mom and watch her make it, and now I know why.
Oh, yeah, baby. Getting big, getting big, baby.
Shaking.
Oh, yeah. Shake
Amen,
that, honey.
Dad.
Shake it. Shake
Good
it.
Good on you, Dad.
Just figure that
it
out,
was,
huh, Carolyn?
It was pre-twerk.
Just this moment.
I just figured that out. 50 years later, I just figured out. Oh,
that, that they named your brother popcorn, that didn't really.
It's about 20 years ago. 20 years ago, we were on vacation, and we actually bought a tin of Jiffy Pop just for nostalgia.
Wow.
And it what's really funny is that nostalgia moment is now nostalgic.
And then
that's how old the Jiffy Pop is.
And then back in the 90s, somebody came up with the idea of a hot air popper so that you produce styrofoam peanuts with no taste, you know?
I had one of those. It was approved by Weight Watchers, so I had one of those.
Well, yeah, because it was horrible.
Back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
No oil, yeah. No oil, no taste, no flavor. It was great.
It's actually, I saw some Jiffy Pop at the grocery store the other day, and you can tell that the millennials are here because it says right on the label, do not microwave.
Do they know that you can't put tin foil in a microwave? I mean, who is actually teaching them that?
I think that they don't realize there's any other place to make popcorn.
Right.
Yeah, it's got a button on there. It must be the place. Yeah.
The the microwave
button. Press the button.
The popcorn button. That's funny. All right, my favorite food when I was growing up, it was a product. You guys remember this product called Jell-O 1-2-3? And it made three layers of Jell-O. One of them was this like foamy, airy, light pink stuff that was kind of in the middle, and it was all made at once. It was Jell-O 1-2. It's like it separated. It was like it was water, oil, and some other chemical, and it made this three layer Jell-O thing. I don't think they make that anymore, and I used to really like that middle layer that you didn't know what it was.
Well, it was a mix between the top layer and the bottom layer. It was just incomplete separation. It was, I mean, if you did it at the wrong temperature, the colder you do it, the thicker the thinner the top and bottom layers would be. If you did it in a warmer temperature, it would be all middle layer. So that's my.
Where were you when I was 6 years old and I needed your help? Where were you?
Is what you do is you put it in the microwave.
Oh, stop.
You're learning Jell-O science today, kids. This is great. I got a Jell-O question for you, Tim. My mom used to make something hideous, like orange Jell-O or something. And in it, somehow she suspended carrot shrapnel. Just little shards of carrots suspended throughout this Jell-O, making it impossible to pick around them.
Yeah, that's the shredded carrot Jell-O.
Exactly.
It's actually, if you go back a generation before ours, something that was really popular was tomato aspic.
Yes.
And that was Jell-O made with tomato juice.
Wow. And
you would put it in a Jell-O mold with a hollow center, and then the center would be, you'd fill that center with like chicken or tuna salad. And then you would take serve that, and you'd take a slice of the tuna salad with the tomato. And I out of nostalgia's sake, I found an old recipe for it and I made it. Oh, it tastes just like you imagine. There was no hidden delicious secret recipe there.
Wow.
that time has forgotten. There's a reason why nobody knows how to make tomato aspic anymore.
Wow. I always thought aspic, and I think of like, you know, a swab for your rear end. And
they actually make those. They're little clamps you put toilet paper on if you get too fat.
Wow, maybe Ben would be a spokesperson for them.
It's the all new aspic, and looks like tomatoes. And the other thing, you know, two beverages that I think we're never going to see again, which is too bad. One is Tab. You know, I used to love Tab.
You can still find it.
Really?
I had a Tab about 6 months ago. I was at a corporate meeting, believe it or not, and in the refrigerator, they had Tab, and it tasted... Oh, God, it tasted like my childhood, like chemicals and poison and toxins. I was so happy. Tab and Fresca were the two things I grew up on in my house.
Well, I can inform you that you can still get both.
Wow.
Is that I've got in my basement, I have an old refrigerator. And I felt that it needed to look old when you opened it as well. So I always have Tab and Fresca in the refrigerator, along with Blatt's, Pabst, Hams.
Wow.
It's Schlitz. I'm a collector of dead brands, and which I just saw this. I don't know if you're going to be as excited about this as I am, but they are going to start brewing Altus again.
Altus. I don't know what that is.
Altus beer. Altus beer. Altes. It might just be a Detroit thing. I grew
Maybe.
Up in Detroit.
Yeah. No. I, yeah. Like we
it
had.
Used to be $2 a case, and they had rebuses under the cap. So that, you know, like the old concentration game.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like you'd have a picture of an eyeball, then you'd have a picture of a spy, and it'd be like I Spy, and there were like little puzzles under the caps. And it was, oh, that was Falstaff. I'm wrong.
Was it marketed to children? Is this a beer that was sold to China? Little games under the cap. Seriously, boys?
Well, yeah. All beer is marketed to children. That's why you have dogs and bikini girls selling beer, because once you lock those kids on a brand, they will stay with that the rest of their lives. So it's all marketed to kids.
Wow. Anyway. The other brand, speaking of brand that I miss, and I don't, maybe Tim, you know where I can get this, Tang.
Tang.
That was a staple in the rocket 60s, man. I had to have Tang like the astronauts did.
Well, you know, we got Space Force coming in, so maybe we'll have Tang coming back. Who knows?
It's one of my favorite episodes of The Simpsons is where Homer becomes an astronaut, and he's really upset that they don't have any Tang up in the space station. So he calls the White House and goes, "President Clinton, I figured you knew where to get some Tang."
It's been replaced with Metamucil. It's orange flavored now. It's the same thing. And for us baby boomers, just get some orange flavored Metamucil, put it in your water. It tastes exactly like that.
Yeah, but I don't think the astronauts would be drinking Metamucil.
How many of us are going to be astronauts? Seriously.
See, and I still get a kick every time I hear the word Tang. I think it's something dirty. So
Why?
It's a good half a word. Anyhow.
Well, that was the Homer Simpson joke. Sorry. Did neither of you get the Homer Simpson joke? The President Clinton, I figured you'd know where to get
some
Tang.
Oh, God, that took me a while. Yeah, for the rest of you younger baby boomers like me. Sorry, kids. Thanks for explaining, Tim.
Hey, sure. We're always there with the Tang jokes. Don't have to worry about that.
All right, here's one that could be made easily, but nobody makes anymore. Tuna noodle casserole. What happened to those?
My wife makes them.
Does she still?
Yeah.
I'm coming to your house. I love.
Does she make them? Does she make them?
I won't be there,
but
you're more than welcome.
Now, here's the question. Here's the big question. Does she put the potato chips on top?
No, my mother used to. She doesn't. And yeah, what's the other thing? Tuna a la king. That was the big thing we always had on Go Friday when even Lutherans couldn't eat meat. And we had tuna a la king with potato chips.
Oh, Friday was so good, even Lutherans have to fast.
I think peas and cream go with anything. I think we should bring it back.
You think what we should bring back?
Peas and cream go with everything.
Peas and cream.
Does your wife put peas?
She puts peas in there. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, like I said, peas and cream go with everything.
Well, there are. If those aren't words to live by, my friends, I don't know what it is.
Don't pee in the casserole.
Stop it. All right. And one more thing. So for me, do you remember a cracker called Chicken in a Biscuit?
Yes.
Still available. Still available. It is still available.
No, that was like chemicals on a saltine or something. It was like the weirdest food, and I don't think I've had one in 40 years, but I think I still remember the taste.
Yeah, it tasted like chicken.
Weird.
They could actually call that alligator crackers because they taste like chicken. But it is. Yeah, there is something weird about it. You bite into the cracker, and it's like they're like invisible. It has a slice of invisible chicken on it.
Yeah, very weird food.
I was over in Australia, and they were offering emu, I think, or ostrich or something. No, it was like emu. It was some really bizarre bird. And I asked the guy, I said, "What does it taste like?" He said, "Well, it kind of tastes like chicken that ate steak its whole life."
Yeah, when I was in Australia, I tried alligator.
I did too.
And it had kind of a little bit more gummy taste than chicken, but it tasted like chicken.
Alligator or crocodile?
Beg pardon?
I think it was alligator, not crocodile. I think it was alligator.
I don't know. I think they're crocodiles over there, but I'm not sure.
Oh,
I'm not
they?
Sure. Mm-hmm. It was a large reptile. That's all I know.
And I really wanted, you know, the leftovers to be made into a pair of boots, but they wouldn't let me do that.
I enjoyed the kangaroo, though. That was very good. It made me a little jumpy at first, but, you know. One other thing. When's the last time you had a TV dinner? It was in that box in the freezer. You put it in the oven. You put up your TV table. You take that hot aluminum tray, sit it down there, and eat some crap. When's the last time you had one of those?
I hated those because there was no way that you could avoid getting a little bit of aluminum on the end of your fork.
And if you bite down on a filling, yow!
Oh, man. Yeah, it's the mashed potatoes, you could scrape off a little bit of the top, and you could pull out the Salisbury steak, and but boy, the corn, there's no way you could avoid that. It was just...
I loved those because they had that little teeny square of, like, apple pie-ish stuff.
Exactly.
And we didn't get to eat dessert in my house much of the time because, you know, my mom was always on a diet. So we didn't get dessert. So it was the only time I got to eat dessert with my dinner was when we had one of those TV dinners and I got that little teeny square of apple pie-ish stuff.
Here's a here's a little movie tip. You can look this up. There's a movie. It was like a premiere project by a guy that's a big director out in L.A. Now it's called Never Been Thawed. He's from Wisconsin. Never Been Thawed, and the gist of it is he's a collector of vintage frozen TV dinners.
Oh my. Oh, my.
How can he tell what they are with all those, like, layers of ice underneath that plastic wrap? How can you tell the difference between
he's got a very specialized freezer in his apartment, and his electric bill is so high that he forms a Christian rock band in order to make enough money to pay his electric bill. It's called Never Been Thought, and it has meetings where he goes to meetings with people, and they talk about, you know, their collection and what they have. And like, I got a 1952 Hungry Man.
Oh, get out, man. With the green
never
beans?
Been thawed.
Oh my God. What? Actually, on that topic, just a side note, what do you guys collect? Do you guys collect anything?
I collect probably just about everything. My dream was always to live. When I was a kid, I loved going to museums. I always wanted to live in a museum. And you've been to my house. It looks like a museum. I collect skulls, not real human skulls, but artistic representations of them. I have about 70 skulls. And I collect Indian art, wow. Native American art.
When Dale passes, his house is going to be the Illinois version of the House on the Rock.
I wish I knew what that meant. Explain.
It's a beautiful tourist trap in Wisconsin where this guy built this house and just kept adding on to it and filling it with collections of everything. I mean, it takes you 2 days to go through this thing. It's amazing.
Okay.
So cool. put that down on your bucket list. House on the Rock.
Definitely.
Spring Green, Wisconsin, I believe it is. Anyhow, yep. My friends, we have come to the conclusion that we've wasted your time again this week. And gosh, we thank you for giving us that opportunity. But do you guys, Carolyn, Tim, have anything, you know, either food or non-food related to leave our listener with?
Hey, I'm going to be in Decatur, Illinois, week from Saturday.
Okay, so check your notifications indicator. How about you, Carolyn?
Well, I was in New York this past week and know that I went to my favorite Ukrainian restaurant and had pierogies for dinner. And you can't get a good pierogi in Colorado, so find your favorite place and go there for the food.
Okay, and I cannot wait until Monday because Monday's my favorite day of the year, April Fool's Day. Oh, it's great. My favorite trick is I have a cup from like McDonald's or sometimes from Starbucks. And in the bottom of that cup, I just drop what's called an earth magnet. They're very powerful magnets. And then I set that cup on top of my car. And I drive around. and people are pointing and staring, and occasionally I'll pull it off, look like I take a sip from it, and put it back on there again.
That's great.
I'm stealing that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, please do. It's a great trick to do. Just great. My friend of mine, the guy who invented this, Greg Davidson, he just carries around a little sign when people point. It says, April Fool.
That's great.
So we'll be coming to you probably next Monday. It'll be our April Fool's show. And so I don't know what to expect, and neither should you. But on behalf of Carolyn and Tim and myself, Dale Irvin, thank you very much for joining us, because once again, this has been another day above ground. Go celebrate it.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.